Amen. Aren't you glad that He is building His church and the gates of hell will not prevail against the church? Acts 17 is where we're going to look this morning. The book of Acts, chapter 17. And we have been for several Sundays now talking about the body of Christ, the church, different aspects of the church, the city that is set on a hill. Last week we were talking about the church that operates by the power of the Spirit of God. Today we want to talk about the impact of the church. Impact of the church. And Acts 17 is the text here this morning. Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered, and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. But the Jews, which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. When they found them not, they drew Jason, certain brethren, unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These that have turned the world upside down are come hither." When Jason had received, whom Jason hath received, and these all do contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying that there is another king, one Jesus. They troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things, and when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Impact. The impact of the church. Most of you that have been around the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, whether it be this church or maybe some other church throughout your Christian walk with the Lord, you could probably, each one of you, give testimony to the impact of the church upon your life. And it is an interesting thing. Churches can have an impact, should have an impact. We've been called of God to make a difference in our society, in our world. Ministries can have an impact. I've been in services where one sermon affected me so much that it literally changed some direction in my life. I've had people who have had such a powerful influence upon me that it had such an impact that it literally changed me. It affected me. It did such a work in me that I was no longer the same. I've had an interesting experience just in the last few days. I was asked by brethren out there at OBI to write a little article for the Standard Bearer. And this was back before the first of the year. I wrote this little article and sent it in, and they published it, put it on the back of the Standard Bearer, and that was it. And I got a letter about a week ago from a veteran missionary. And I'd heard of him and probably met him when I was a very young person, because he had come to the church that I grew up in. He is a 51-year veteran, Assemblies of God missionary. His name is Gene Steele. He's a great man of God. 35 of those years, he has been in Arizona, working among Native Americans there. He spent years in Peru, years in Mexico, 51 years in ministry. For some reason, my article caught his eye, and he wrote me a letter and explained who he was, and said, "My wife and I are we're very tired, And would you just pray that the Lord would send a replacement for the work that we're involved in here in Arizona? And I was interested enough in that that I, whenever I heard from him, that I got on the phone and I called him and talked to Brother Steele for a little while. It was so interesting because the areas that he's worked all over Arizona, New Mexico, among the American Indians or Native Americans, whichever you, however you choose to refer to them. But all of these years, and he didn't know me, and I knew of him, but how is it possible that someone can go out? You never know when you're having an impact on someone's life. And I began to talk to Brother Steele, and I said, you know, years ago, I was about 14 years old, and our church took our youth group to an Indian mission, Navajo Indian Reservation, 60 miles north of Gallup, New Mexico, in a little community there on the Indian reservation called Newcomb, New Mexico. And he said, I started that work. I founded that work. And I couldn't imagine, but that single event was probably one of the most impacting experience that I ever had in my life. And here's this man that I've never really met him, just have heard of him. And he didn't know that when he was planting seeds and touching the lives of those Navajo, but there are other people that were being affected by that. And that would be affected even after he was gone from that mission. That's the way the work of the church goes. You plant seeds and you don't know where they're going to grow. You don't know the impact. By the way, Brother Steele, I'm pleading with him and Sister Steele to be here for our missions conference. Pray that they get to come. Because I've had this on my heart to honor some of these veteran missionaries and them and the folks from Mexico that come every year, Allenders, people like that that have given their life for the work of the Lord. And so just pray that it'll work out, that they'll get to be here during the meetings in the last part of April. We get to meet these people. These are heroes. These are people that have influenced lives for years. And he said, this is a very hard mission field. It's very difficult working with the American Indians. They're so steeped in their tradition and their religion and they're so backward and difficult to break through to them. All these years he's been planting seeds and making an impact. And that's what we have been called to do as the church. To make a difference in our world. To have an impact in our world. You know, when you read the book of Acts, it is not just some little complacent little activity that's going on there. Every chapter is full of action. It is the working and the moving of the Holy Spirit through those apostles. It's not the acts of the apostles. It is the moving of the Spirit of God upon those apostles. And then these men who did not necessarily have qualifications, except for the fact they were called and filled with the Spirit, they had an impact. The text that we read here says, these are the people that have turned our world upside down. They have such an influence that they have turned our world completely upside down. Amen. You see, we're as a church, we're not called to do what other organizations can do. And I'm glad for United Way, and I'm glad for the Rotary, and I'm glad for all these groups and the clubs and different good things that people can do in our society. But we're not called just to good works. We're called to a specific task. And while there are good works, and while we are involved in ministry that would be classified as good works, primarily our calling is to have a spiritual impact upon our world. This community ought to be different because of you and me. This community ought to be because of what we believe and what we stand for and how that we promote the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're called to do what no other organization can do. Amen. The church, we have been called for a specific task to bring about change in our world through the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the way we do it. We do it through the preaching of Christ. We do it through the message of Jesus Christ. All kinds of efforts to bring revolution to the Middle East right now. People are dying every day Dozens and dozens of people have died, maybe even more, hundreds of people that are dying because they don't like it the way it has been. And so they're rising up all over the world and that region of the world. And no doubt it's going to have an effect on many other nations of the world. Maybe even the United States of America, that people think that they can bring about revolution by going to the streets and all of these activities. And I'm not saying that it's always a bad thing to be involved in this kind of a thing. But really, as the church, we need to understand that our primary calling and task is to bring revolution to the world by the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only way it can really happen. As we preach the gospel, as we declare it, as we live before this world, the message of the word of God. Amen. So the church, you know, we can't make our demands on people. We can't force people to do what we want them to do, but we can demonstrate Christ and we can plant the seed of the word of God. And we can pray over it and we can be patient and believe that if we'll stay at it, like Gene Steele and his wife have done for 51 years, we can believe that there are effects. Lives are being touched far beyond anything we could ever expect because the gospel is a seed of tremendous potential and power. And wherever it is sent forth, it brings change. Amen. Glory to God. Now we live in a society right now in our world, it's not that much unlike what was going on in the first century church. The first century church was facing all kinds of things, and their biggest enemy was the religious system of that day. It was a form of religion, but it was not the reality of a relationship with God. There were just a few select people who were of that Jewish sect that all through those hundreds of years when there was no prophetic voice that they held on and they were still true to the Lord and still had faith and were waiting on the Messiah to come, like Ananias and Annas Zechariah and Elizabeth and different ones that were waiting for the consolation of Israel, waiting for the Messiah. But they were just a small little group of people. Most of the religious world of that day, they were hard, dull, indifferent. You couldn't break through and penetrate because everything had just become a formality to them. It was just emptiness. It was just religion. It was just, you know, the routine of their lives. And much of the time, that's what we deal with today. In our world, that the greatest obstacle many times is the gospel breaking through in places where people have believed, but now they're far away from God and disinterested in the things of the Lord. But yet God has still called us to this age. Yesterday in the seminar, which I'd heard this material before, but it was just reaffirmed to me once again, the importance of the fact of those unchangeables, where you were born. And the time that you were born, God has placed you where you are in the generation that you're in the exact precise situation that you're in. You're not to look at the past and say, I wish I could have lived in those days, or to the future and say, I wish I could live in those days. But instead, you understand that God has a plan. He has a purpose. He has a calling for you. And that is, we are called to affect this generation. We are called to have an impact upon our world that's around us. Amen. That's the ministry of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the ministry of every individual believer, that we are to have an impact upon our world that is around us. Amen. How can we do that? Well, you can look at the pattern of the New Testament, and we'll look at a few things here this morning as we have the time. This New Testament pattern, whenever they came preaching with power. And everything was changed as a result of the message and the lives that were changed. They came into all of that emptiness and all of that void. And what was interesting, there was all this religious system that was set in place, but there was such a void and such a hunger for the reality of the truth. And that's the reason why when Peter preached that day, even though they were convicted and pricked in their heart, there were 3,000 souls that were saved. And then just a little bit later on, 5,000 souls that were saved. And there are those added to the church daily, such as you should be saved. And in our text here in Acts chapter 17, you notice that in Thessalonica, Paul and Silas, they go into the synagogue for 3 weeks and they preach Jesus Christ. They preach the Lord Jesus Christ to those Jews that are in that synagogue and declare unto them Jesus Christ, the resurrection. And there was a stirring. The wonderful thing about it was the fact that it says that some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. Amen. You won't win everybody, but there will be those that you will have an impact upon. Amen. And they believed and they joined up with the apostle Paul and with Silas. And then it says, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few. Isn't it interesting the impact that women have had on the church? If you've gone and visited churches around the country very much in our fellowship of churches, you'll see that women have a mighty impact upon the church. They're there. Many of them have been faithful and performing their duty and their calling for years and years and years. While I believe in the influence of the men in the church, but there have always been those devout, godly women that the Lord has used in the church, such as the case here of these that joined themselves to Paul and Silas. Some joined him, believed, consorted with him. Some of them of devout Greeks, a great multitude. And of the women, the chief women, not a few. Tremendous impact that was felt in Thessalonica. But at the same time, there were those Jews that did not receive. There were those Jews that began to respond and to raise up in resistance to the message of the gospel. Bring in Jason, who was the primary leader there in Thessalonica, bringing him before the Pharisees and accusing him. This is the one that has allowed these to come in and brought these disciples in. They have turned our world upside down. People don't like that. They don't like that. They like a religion of complacency. They like a religion that does not challenge their lifestyle. They like a religion that, you know, it's just something that suits their convenience. But whenever there is a message that comes forth that challenges your life, challenges the way you're living, and it reminds you of your weakness and your sinfulness and your failures, and challenges you to do better and get close to God and put your trust in the Lord, that message was a message that turned their community upside down. And the church needs to be making that kind of an impact. Amen. And it only happens as we quit putting all the emphasis upon coming to church, while we know that's valuable and necessary. But we put even equal emphasis upon being the church. When we leave and we go out into our community and we begin to have an effect upon the community around us. How do they do it? Well, the number one strategy was their love. The disciples were known. They were easily identified, it says, in John 13 and verse 35. They were identified by their spirit, the spirit that they had, that they loved. They loved them, and it was not a selfish love at all. It was their strategy. It was their one agenda, was to let people know that Jesus Christ cared about them. This was a force that was unstoppable, irresistible, because they were exemplifying the love of Jesus Christ. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Amen. What a force, what a power the church has. Whenever we bind together, and the chief motivation for what we do is that we love people. We love the world. We love people in their lost condition and in their desperation. And we're able to carry out the purpose of God because He's love. And we're able to live a life that pleases the Lord because the love of God has been shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Ghost. We're able to be an effective witness because everywhere we go, we are declaring Jesus Christ that came into this world and He laid down His life that men might be saved. The greatest example of love when this ultimate sacrifice that Jesus gave. And so the number one pattern of this church that had an impact was they loved. Amen. They loved and they demonstrated that every opportunity that they had. Another part of this New Testament strategy was, and we've been talking about this, is that everyone understood that they have gifts and abilities from God, and they put them to use. Amen. Everybody in the church recognizes their part that they play in the body of Christ. That it's only as everyone in the body is joined together, fitly joined together, that we are able to get the real complete picture of what God wants to do. Amen. When we are, you know, on our own, we've got our own little ideas, our own little agenda, where we're not united under a common cause, a common purpose, and a common message, then we weaken the body of Christ. Ephesians 4 and verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. The word there, fitly joined, it describes something that's put in order or organized. When it's something that is fitly joined together, it's like it fits, like pieces of the puzzle. It's organized and has order to it, fitly joined together. And compacting, the word is knit. The word there means to be knit together by that which every joint supplieth. That every one, no matter what part you play, you are all a contributor. Every joint supplies. Everyone is contributing to the ministry and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. According to the effectual working and the measure of every part maketh increase, growth in the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Amen. That's when we all work together. That's when we're all knit together. That's when there is this work of the Spirit of God that brings us together in a common cause with order and a plan and organized effort for the body of Christ to work together to really have an impact upon our world. Amen. If one person can have an impact, what happens when 50 people get together and are bound together, or 100 people? All under a common cause and calling, then there is an impact that is powerful and is real. Another, a third aspect of this, and that is the ministry, the pastor and the ministry of the church is chiefly occupied with building up and edifying the body of Christ through the Word of God. That's the chief occupation of the ministry and the pastors in the church, that they are involved in ministering to people, building them up, preaching and teaching the Word of God, motivating them, cleansing them, purifying them, strengthening them, building them up so that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ can be bound together in a common cause. And number four is the truth that we have an undying commitment to the truth of the Word of God. Amen. We set aside human ideas and man-made ideas, and we have a commitment to what the Bible says. Amen. In its purity. And we're not in any way willing to compromise the principles of the Word of God, but we declare it, we preach it, we live it, and it is a demonstration to the world that we know Jesus Christ because we abide in the truth. Amen. The church that's having an impact has made an absolute commitment to the authority of the Word of God. Amen. Amen. What His Word says is true. What man says has no value at all. Number five, the fellowship of the saints. This New Testament church was a church. They had impact because they came together regularly. It wasn't just a routine church service, but it was a place where the saints could bear one another's burdens. It was a place where the testimony of the faithfulness of God would edify, encourage others. It was a place where you could confess your faults one to another, like the Bible says. It was a place where you could come together and unite together that God by His Spirit, we would, you know, the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And so we come together and we are better off because of the experience of coming together among the body of Christ. Amen. Amen. And everyone comes together. Colossians 3 and 16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
at the meetings, when we come together in church services, this fellowship is to strengthen, it is to edify in the Spirit, it is to work together, to sharpen one another, so that when we move out of this place, we can have an impact upon our world. Amen. Praise the Lord. When I read this text, I was amazed at the Apostle Paul, because Paul and Silas, when they went to Thessalonica, they go to the synagogue, and for 3 weeks, they're preaching Christ and Him resurrected from the dead, and reasoning with them, explaining to them the scriptures concerning Jesus Christ and the resurrection. Some believed, but the Jews, for the most part, rejected what He had to say. Now they're under threat of their life. You get the impression that what they had to do was pretty much just sneak them out of town. And they moved on to the next place in Berea. Instead of being intimidated by the previous challenge, in this text it says that as soon as they got to Berea, they did the same thing. They went right straight to the synagogue and did the exact same thing. Amen. And reasoned with the people. And it appears that those Jews in Berea were more noble, more honorable, because they heard the word. They received the word of the Lord there. There were many that didn't in Thessalonica, but in Berea, a tremendous response to the word of the Lord. Impact. Amen. Amen. Don't be discouraged by the efforts that you have put forth. Some of you maybe have fulfilled a ministry for a long time, maybe teaching a Sunday school or class or doing a bus route or some other area of ministry. Don't be discouraged by that, because the impact of your ministry in your life is something that you have to be patient to see it realized. Amen. You plant the seed, you nurture it, and you wait. And eventually you'll see the fruit and the impact of your life. If you do it all for the glory of God, if you do it in love, if you do it to touch the lives of people, there will be impact. It may be 51 years later that you hear that there were some people influenced in Kentucky by my ministry. How could that ever be? How could there ever be that kind of an impact? But it's possible. You don't know who you're influencing or the lives that you're affecting for the glory of God, because you're sowing the seed, planting the seed, remaining faithful, because you're believing that God is going to bring the harvest. He's going to bring the increase in days or years to come. Who knows? But you go forth and you plant the seed and you do the ministry, because you know that by the Spirit of God, you're having an impact. Amen. Whether it is in children's ministry or youth ministry or whatever ministry that you're involved in, does it? Just hold on. Be faithful. Remain true. There will be fruit and the impact will be realized. Amen. That's the promise of God. Amen. The church that has this potential to touch and to influence our society. So we don't influence our society by taking to the streets with signs and banners and screaming, "We want change." There may be a place for that, but for the most part, that's not the call of the church. The call of the church is for you to be a person of love and righteousness and purity and truth. You walk out of here, and when you go to your job, you're of that godly, righteous influence, and you plant the seeds of the Word of God there. And whether you're on your job or you're going about your day, daily business or activities, everywhere you go, your life influence, your testimony, how God opens doors of ministry for you, you're making an impact. Amen. And you may not know it. It may be 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. It may be a long time before you know it. You may not even know ever until you get to heaven. And then you're going to have all these surprises when we get to heaven. Amen. Of people that your life touched that you never could have imagined, that God could take your word or your little testimony or your little good deed or whatever that it might be, and use that to influence people. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Let's make an impact. Let's be a church that's not just, you know, church of routine, church of no power, no influence, but a church that's having an impact upon our community. Praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord, for the body of Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we are invited to be a part of it. And Lord, I pray that you'd give us
patience. Help us to be patient, to wait, and to believe, Lord, that you are sowing the seed, that you are working, and you are moving. Thank you, Lord, for your life, the life of Christ that is in us, Lord, that causes us to be able to have power and effectiveness in our world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Let's stand together. Amen. One of the reasons why I really love the radio ministry is because when you're on that radio, you're talking to people that you don't know who you're talking to. There's this vast audience out there. There might be 50 people listening, or there might be 5,000 people listening. You don't know. But you do know that every seed of the word can have an impact in people's lives. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of your opportunities and do what the Lord is calling you to do. Amen. The body jointly fit together. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Making our impact upon our world. Praise the Lord. Father, thank you for this day. And we thank you, Lord, for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I know that you don't become a member of the church just by signing a card or shaking somebody's hand. You become a member because you're born again. Born into the kingdom of God. Thank you, Lord, that you've given us this privilege. Lord, I just pray that all of us individually would see the great potential of a body that is bound together, committed together, fit together. Lord, to really have an impact upon our world. Minister, Lord, I pray to everyone here today and every life and every need, Lord. May we be challenged to step forth, remain faithful in our calling and our purpose. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God.